In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Betches Media presents...
Chrissy Teigen referred to Donald Trump as a pussy-ass bitch.
Look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there.
Well, I lost half a day of skiing.
I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
The Betches Sub-Podcast.
A speaker has not been elected.
Hello, this is the Betches Sub-Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. I'm Amanda Duberman, the news director at Betches.
I'm Millie Tamaris, comedian and sub-video contributor.
Here we are. This is the weirdest week. One of the weirdest week of the year. One of the weirdest weeks, rather. It's like this one and then the week between Christmas and New Year's. This one just feels very... Is it sleepy for you? Or is it like... Is the freelance hustle just always a grind?
I mean, it always is a grind, but also very sleepy because there's definitely like this energy of... Well, people are not going to email you back. Like, even though you're working and grinding, no one else is. So you're just fucked.
Yeah, that's true. There are entire... I feel really badly. Like, after this, I do need to text Brian about something very exciting. But he's on like he's in Europe with his dog. He is living the life.
Ah, so nice. I love seeing people travel with their dogs. Did you see there's that crazy TikTok of that girl who like rented a charter private PJ to get her like big ass Great Dane to move to Paris?
And now it's like her whole brand is that she once hired a private jet to get her animal to Paris.
To moving across the fucking world with that big ass dog, like that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I would. For me, it wouldn't be a vacation if Morty was there. Like, I'm just too attentive and he's too needy. I love taking him places. It's really fun to like go out. I find it much easier actually to take him out places in Brooklyn. Like, just the sidewalks aren't as crowded and he's not as manic. He'll just sort of relax. But yeah, if I'm going to Europe, I don't want the old ball and chain.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because, you know, I went to California, New Mexico, and everywhere was dog friendly, you know, and like Northern California is famous for some dog beach walking, but it's literally outside of that is the stressful thing of like, what if I want to spontaneously go to this restaurant or this and that? But yeah, they're moving to Paris. So the only thing that can justify taking a dog is if you're spending more than 3 weeks. That's what I said.
Yeah. Mike was like genuinely, I think, a little chastened that I didn't agree to bring Morty on our honeymoon. I was like, it is our honeymoon. It's our honeymoon. And literally the hotel is like, you know, they're like, you're not allowed to leave with the dog. And the dog can't be in the room alone, which was not going to work. I was like, the dog can spend a week by himself so I can go on my honeymoon. Yeah. So, okay. So a sleepier week for us, but I, like you, will be picking up on the new gospel of Madam Secretary. I mean, not the new gospel, the old gospel, but you have been raving.
2014 gospel. It's very fun. It's just fun to see these things because there's her daughter, like the oldest daughter, Stevie, and Madam Secretary. There's this scene where she's walking and she's just wearing such 2014 fashion. She's wearing like a fedora, an infinity scarf, fingerless gloves, tights, and ankle boots. And I'm like, bitch, yes, transport me back. Whereas like suits is very timeless in that. The fashion is very much like, this is how men think women dress.
Right.
Like their hair is always down and stuff. They're always wearing like 10-inch heels to work and like dresses. None of the women wear pants. It's crazy. Like, it's like the opposite of novellas where the evil, the good people have blonde hair and the evil people have dark hair. In suits, all the good women have dresses on and all the bad women wear pants.
That's hilarious.
But Madam Secretary is very much all over the spectrum, except for the clothes and the makeup is very much, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, 2015, you mean like last year?
No.
But then when you see a look from 2015, you're like, whoa, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, like looking at like what like Blake Lively used to wear, like she was like my fashion god. Now
I watched Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2 for a job that I had recently. Nice. And I was like, wow, Blake Lively was really, she was like the sporty guy's gal, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like cargo, like the lowest shorts I've ever seen.
Right. But she was also in her early work, like very kind of lesbian coded.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That was like, but that's like the guy's gal.
That's
like,
true.
Aesthetic of mm-hmm. lesbian, but you know, now everything's lesbian coded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Including our next story, which is Trump's mugshot. No, I don't know if that's lesbian. That might be the least lesbian coded thing that's ever happened.
It's very strange.
Today, our number is $7.1 million. That is how much Donald Trump fundraised since his mugshot was released last Thursday night. He had the single best fundraising day of his campaign on Friday, which is the day after it was released. And that fundraising has come from direct donations, the old people who he's conned into giving their life savings, but also merch sales. So after he was taken into custody, his team wasted no time. They started selling shirts, posters, bumper stickers, and beverage coolers bearing Trump's scowling mugshot. And the items all have the tagline, "Never Surrender," which is hilarious because they show him surrendering.
That's literally what a mugshot is. You've surrendered and they've taken a photo.
Right.
This is a lesson for all of us, right? Sometimes we have something that we're trying to avoid and we're trying to run away from. But when you lean into it, it could be your biggest success. And that is what he did not. Imagine if he would have just taken the mugshot. Imagine if we had 4 mugshots, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? But he didn't want to take a mugshot in Miami. He didn't want to take a mugshot in all the other crimes. And guess what? He took the mugshot, $7.1 million. So I'm just saying, for broader, we're zooming out to our listeners and saying that if there's something that you're avoiding, lean into it, baby. Trump never surrender and I mean, make money off
Trump's
of it.
Entire brand is leaning into his worst qualities, and so he will absolutely. The thing that pisses me off quite a bit about this mugshot actually is that, I mean, he's totally off center, and I know they have to be to have the little, you know, the sheriff's watermark.
Yeah.
But I just hate how off center it is.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You can't. He did, though. He did. Donald Trump got it off, so now he just looks off center. But did this mugshot, I mean, one of those moments on the internet that was probably definitely kind of a top five. I mean, number one will always be, we say pretty much every show, the day Trump got COVID. That was the best day on the internet.
That was pretty great. That was pretty great.
So this was, I don't know, there wasn't a localized Twitter. Twitter was pretty good. The memes were pretty good. It was kind of the same joke over and over again. But yeah, he looked like shit. And I think that's what we wanted.
I love, there was like a America's Next Top Model like meme where it was like Tyra was looking at the photos and it was Trump's mugshot. And it's like, you're eliminated. Perfect. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I just feel like, I don't know. I'm like, was it better? I guess it's better that he was scowling, because mm-hmm. if he was smiling, it'd be too on the nose.
Yeah.
But he's scowling, so that's like part of the brand. I think like,
the fake was better, I think. Did you see the fake one?
The fake one
that went around pretty early. And I just, it was like me and like the other sickest people on the internet who were like, no, that's not the tie he's wearing today. Because it was a different tie. He was much more orange. This one, the lighting, you couldn't really get a sense of. He did kind of look like that scene in Sex and the City. And Sarah Jessica Parker is beautiful. But when she's in Mexico and wakes up and her entire face is like scrunched and pinched and just arid, that's what it was giving to me. Like that, he doesn't drink water. He hasn't had water in 72 hours.
That's insane. Also, like, right, didn't he spend overnight in jail?
No. Some guy did, though.
40 minutes. So 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, 2 things, right? One was, like, out of this whole thing and out of all the mugshots, a lot of Black Twitter and you know, Black TikTok. No one says that. Please don't quote me.
I like
that.
It.
I, no one says Black TikTok.
And what
talk,
I
please,
think I'm, matters.
Yeah. But... somebody made this point of like all of them got bond except for the Black guy that's involved in the election fraud. And this is also a bigger lesson, zooming out. Tokens get spent. And that's the thing. Tokens will get spent. Tokens mm-hmm. don't, they're, the rules do not apply mm-hmm. to the tokens, you mm-hmm. know? So this is like to all the, you know, Black conservatives of color.
Herman Cain.
Listen, that's exactly the same thing. Yeah. Was like everyone got COVID, but guess who didn't survive? Herman Cain. Everyone did election fraud, but guess who fucking is still in jail?
Yeah.
This Harrison motherfucker. Floyd. Harrison Floyd. So let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
tokens get spent. And also, it just really, I had I'm in a WhatsApp group chat, like every ethnic minority that lives in the United States, of course, with my family. And you know, listen, if you're an ethnic minority in the, you've muted several family group chats, and I'm about to mute another one because my aunt sent this crazy one.
Uh-oh.
That was like this Argentinian woman talking with a Make America Great Again hat saying what a victory this mugshot was. So it's just like, we're operating on different dimensions. This is where, now I get when that C-SPAN alien news brief that was like, we have debris from non-human biologicals because we don't want to denote origin because it could be from a different time or a different dimension. It's these fucking people that think that the mugshot is a victory.
They're the ones that are making their own. Have you seen this? The conservatives that are like posing for their own, like it's in solidarity, like it's a... It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now on to the main news. A 21-year-old man went on a racist shooting rampage in Jacksonville, Florida over the weekend, killing three people. The shooter arrived at the Dollar General to carry out the massacre after attempting to get into a historically black university nearby where he was like turned away. They raised some alarms. They were like, there's a guy, a sketchy ass guy with a tactical vest. He should not be here. Despite a documented history of incidents with the state, the gunman legally purchased the weapons he used in the shooting, which included an AR-15 style rifle. I think I say this every time this happens, which is often, is that like a lot of times the 2A people will use it as a flex, like, oh, he got the guns legally. And for gun safety advocates, yes, that's our point. This guy had included, he had some situations in the past where it included a 72-hour psychiatric evaluation. He was not like admitted for treatment after that, but he was held for 72 hours at one point. And he was also, the cops were called for a domestic disturbance. I think both of these happened when he was under 18, which might've been the issue. Florida has a legislation that 72-hour hold did not show up in a background check. Gunman, who is also dead, he died by suicide. He left a suicide note. And then, as you know by now, 20 pages of extremely racist writing. His rifles that he got legally had swastikas on them. He left that day, obviously, to kill black people.
Well, but he's not a white supremacist, man. That's the real discussion, is that people, many news outlets are not even calling him, white supremacist or racist. And... yeah, I just feel like, mass shooting events are really disturbing. you know, it's a disturbing fucking reality of this country. But also, like, this was a targeted racist one, you know? I think it's so, I mean, talk about intersections of different mm-hmm. issues. The fact that it's at a Dollar General, you know, a lot of, you know, Black neighborhoods are food deserts. So that's essentially the grocery store. That's exactly what the guy in Buffalo did, where he's like, I'm going to go to a place where Black people congregate or are, you know, where they need to do like their things. And it was like a university, which was so troubling and so sick. And then to do it at a fucking Dollar General, this is like, these are just like poor, you know, poor Black people that are trying to fucking eat and get Clorox for a dollar. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. just so disgusting. And I think that a conversation that's being had right now is the culpability of Ron DeSantis with all of this and all his recent yeah. legislation, and the fact that he was recently booed at the memorial in Jacksonville is just really, really telling, you know? And yeah, it's really funny because Jacksonville has a Democratic mayor mm-hmm. is right now, you know? So it's, there's a lot of interesting things right. with this, but it's just so sad and so fucked up.
Right. And it's obviously easy to make fun of Ron DeSantis not looking like a human. Mm-hmm. And to us, because like he's not our governor, but he just provides, like we've said it a million times, it's nothing new. Like his opinions, him saying like, actually, it's not worth, actually slavery provided a benefit. It just legitimizes that 20-year-old kid who also has, he's like, my governor is saying things that are not far off from the views I have. He might even just be dog whistling to me. So like, if the leader of your state is doing that, if the front runner for the nomination for the Republican nomination is doing that, like it hits those people differently. It's just like, you know, it makes you think of the times where it's like we hear and it's like there Trump goes again. There's another one with Ron DeSantis. And it's like, obviously, necessarily, we disassociate and we're like, God, this keeps happening. This is horrible. This is horrible. And then you realize how the people who hold those beliefs, when they hear that, they receive it and they take it in and they take it as a validation. Mm-hmm. And of course, he absolutely should be booed. Like, saying that the history does not deserve to be, and I don't know, it was on the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington, and like I think the murderer probably knew that. He probably, if he was this racist, he probably, you know, chose some sort. There was also, I mean, it was the anniversary of something
race theories Jacksonville. Banned, so, yeah, I know. Maybe he didn't, because they don't teach that in schools in Florida anyway. But yeah.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, like in Florida history class, is this going to be called a racially motivated event? Are they going to know about the 20 pages of racist screeds? It's like, of course there were 20 pages of racist screeds. Like, of course. You didn't know.
It's just like this vulnerable. I mean, there's just so much, you know. Again, like 20 young men between the ages of like 16 to 20, like mm-hmm. so vulnerable, so susceptible. I mean, you know, really like young white men in this country, like very high suicide risk in general. So like, it's just a lot.
And then
of
this racist impulse to take people with you when you go.
I know. And then like also, then AR-15, like no one needs that.
Nobody
needs that. Like, it's just, so it's just a lot of issues that have come to the surface at once, and unfortunately has resulted into three people losing their lives, you know, because of, you know, and I think that's just another thing that, again, you brought up, is like Ron DeSantis is a meme and he's stupid and blah, 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 and meatball Ron. But he is a man in power mm-hmm. who's radicalizing young people into these toxic views, and his legislation of open carry and like, let's, you know, pleasing gun activists and all that shit has consequences, and the consequences is dead Black people.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now we'll move on to women's rights and women's wrongs. Dealing today in women's rights, as in your right to not be forcibly kissed. So we did touch on this the last time we talked about the Women's World Cup champions, but that discussion was about how they had triumphed despite their shitty coach, who they all hated and did some like really weird control and creepy behavior. In that conversation, we talked about how men's egos and bad behavior have marred women's victories and made them more difficult to succeed in general over like centuries. We're having this conversation again today, but about a totally different dude. I think we did mention this like offhand at the the first conversation about this. But so mm-hmm. Luis Rubiales, am I saying that right?
I mean, yeah.
Without an accent? Okay.
You can lisp if you want to. Okay. You can lisp the whole night around.
Not today.
Friends don't lisp.
I'm sorry. He's the president of...
They're the colonizers. We don't have to pronounce their name correctly, Amanda, but continue.
Luis Rubiales is the... Yeah, that's why I'm pronouncing it without
Rubiales.
It. Is the president... Yeah, I'm not doing that. Is the president of the Spanish Soccer Federation. So like we said, when Spain won the World Cup...
Don't even fucking pronounce the colonizer's country correctly.
He was super... he was just being kind of weird. He was like hugging and kissing team members on the cheek. But you know when it's like... You know when a gross older man is kissing you on the cheek, but it's like he's really kind of kissing your neck and it's just not good. It's just unwanted.
It's disgusting.
And except for Jennifer Hermoso, whose face he grabbed and he forced a kiss on the lips. This has gone around. It's very clear she's just sort of like thrown off guard.
It's viral, waiting? Which is
it's
crazy.
So viral. But... It's terrible. Before that, immediate – and he's denying it. I mean, he's not denying kissing her, but he was like, this was fine. He was like, this is – not a funny story in essence, but the way this man has doubled down,
I know,
to make it so much worse for himself, even though he's such a creep. So before that, like, this was happening, I think, when she got her medal, he kissed her on the lips. But before that, right when Spain won, he just grabs his crotch. Okay, at the Women's World Cup, grabs his crotch. I guess this is a gesture of victory if you've got stuff down there. But next to him was a 16-year-old Spanish princess standing next to him. I guess he's defended this. He was like, oh, I grabbed that part of my body in a state of euphoria, and I was looking around for the coach, Jorge Vilda, you know, because we've been through so much. And I was like, so you're grabbing your dick, looking for your colleague who also helped you be an ass to this woman. Anyway, this guy's the worst man ever. So Jenny Hermoso said in the immediate aftermath, you know, she said she didn't like this and it made her uncomfortable. She was asked about it a lot in the immediate aftermath. And like, think about this. Like, you're somebody who's literally had the most, like, Amelia, imagine you're winning an Emmy and somebody kisses you on the lips. And then you're asked, you're kind of just wanting, I would sort of honestly just disassociate and sort of be like, I'm going to pretend this didn't happen for the next 6 hours and try to enjoy myself. And so she was kind of like, no, I don't even know if she was brushing it off. She said she's heard saying she didn't like it. But then I guess in other like offhand things, she's like, oh, it's fine. Like it wasn't a big deal, but never really like engaging with what happened.
Yeah, it's the biggest moment of your career. You don't want to make it about some stupid bald man kissing you.
Like, right, right.
You fucking won the World Cup.
Unless like me, you're married to a stupid bald man, then it's fine.
And also like, as we said like a few episodes ago, the hardest World Cup ever for women.
Absolutely. So he initially, he kisses her. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Widespread. Rubiales initially calls the critics idiots. And then he like kind of apologizes. He's like, I understand how it looked, but I really like it wasn't out of desire. It's like how I would kiss my daughters. And it's like, don't kiss your subordinates like your children. Anyway, he didn't really acknowledge any wrongdoing and he has not done so yet. So here is the sequence of events that have led to today for this man. So FIFA then opened a disciplinary investigation. Spain's prime minister was like, bro, step down. Basically, everybody in Spanish government said, bro, step down. There were reports that he would at this like emergency assembly of the Royal Football Federation. He didn't do that. Instead, he went on the craziest rant against anyone criticizing his actions. He was like, is this so serious that you should let me go over this? And yes, correct. He called his critics false feminists and he said the backlash against him. And I want to be careful about like translation stuff, but pretty much every translation has said he said this. He said that he called the backlash a social assassination. They're trying to kill me. So he accused the people criticizing him for non-consensual conduct as trying to assassinate him. So this is when the player, Jennifer Hermoso, she released a longer statement to really clarify that this was not okay. And she felt action needed to be taken. It was a really amazing statement. She wrote, I felt vulnerable and a victim of an impulse-driven, sexist, out-of-place act without any consent on my part. And it's a longer statement, like I said, that's really worth reading. It's very thoughtful. And she sort of like addresses a lot of the factors here. So Rubiales claims that he got consent from her. He's like, no, we had a whole conversation. I was like, can I kiss you? And she was like, yeah, even though I feel like you watch it happening, that's not happening. And she claimed, you know, he's like, she said afterwards, this isn't a big deal. And like we said, like whatever she said immediately after is not really relevant. Then the Spanish Soccer Federation backs him. They say that the player, Jennifer Hermoso, is lying, and they threaten to take legal action against her. And then FIFA suspends this guy for 90 days. They're like, we got to take a pause. The Spanish women's team has said they're not playing any squad matches until he steps down. A few of the men's players have said they also won't play. I think at some games they've worn, you know, jerseys in solidarity. And now Spanish prosecutors are opening an inquiry into whether he can be charged with a crime linked to this non-consensual kiss, which I honestly don't think would have happened. Maybe not if he had just immediately been like, fuck, sorry, that was unacceptable, I'm stepping down. But him kind of like digging his heels in. And again, Jorge Vilda, so everything we talked about on the other episode about how this guy was like, all of the players were like, we're not going to play for this guy unless it's addressed. Rubiales supported him during that controversy. He was totally behind him. They were grabbing their dicks at each other when they won. Who do you think Jorge Vilda is supporting in this? Not his man, Rubiales. No, he's now speaking out, saying he regrets that the inappropriate behavior has tarnished the World Cup victory. Of course he has, because he's like, the heat's off me. Of course, of course he's going to immediately dump this guy. And finally, to end the bullets here, Rubiales' mother has locked herself in a church and gone on a hunger strike until the end of, quote, the inhuman, bloodthirsty witch hunt, which my son is being subjected to. And amid all this, one more thing, this guy has also been, now more is coming out about him, and he's being accused of using Federation money to arrange sex parties.
And take women on international trips.
Yeah. The sex parties part, I admit I don't know, but what do you need funds for? Like a venue?
I guess to rent a venue that's big enough for all the fucking. Separately, I once had a friend told me he went to a sex party at 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
Oh.
Because someone had to go to work. So I imagine
that person must have been a pretty critical part of the sex
party. Yes. The whole sex party revolved around this person who had the night shift at a restaurant. Also, can I just say so many things to react to? First of all, the most Spanish reaction to your son. I mean, we really talk about how machismo is fueled by the mothers. And your mother locking herself in a church and going on hunger strike until your son, because your son has to reach this is just peak Spanish mother thing. It's just like, wow, I could not think. Like, if someone wrote this, you would be like, this is insane.
Oh, also, absolutely.
Rubiales is totally taking a thing from the Trump book, as in never surrender, as in it wasn't me, hashtag Shaggy. It wasn't me when, like, dog, it was a viral fucking, like, I could at least give some shitty credence or some whatever if it was just like a he said, she said thing, but it's not. The world saw it. Mm-hmm.
Right after you grabbed your crotch when the team wins the Women's World Cup. Sir.
With your stinky ass hands.
Ugh, I hate this
I'm
man.
I'm also like, I don't know. Maybe I'm like, if he was just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm humiliated, I shouldn't do that. I'm going to remove myself for a little bit. Even if he doesn't want to like let go of his job, that would have been better. But now I'm like, man, I hope they like fucking.
Now he's being investigated for, you know, sexual aggression in Spain, which again, I don't think would have happened had he just been like, okay, cool. But because he's doubling down and he's claiming that he did nothing wrong, now the state has to intervene and be like, that's actually incorrect. And I guess there's even some state or some government laws around like the conduct of coaches where they can intervene. So,
it's
going to cost him a lot we also watched him do these multiple gross things.
Well, we've also talked about like legislation in Spain being very progressive and pro-woman. They like, you can, you know, call out for your period, for period cramps and, you know, all of that. And, you know, I just wonder if those progressive laws are put in place to combat guys like this who are just fucking grabbing their crotches in front of 16-year-old there's too many elements.
Right, it's too
there's
many.
A 16-year-old
it needs editing.
Women's World Cup. Uh-huh. The coach already is a fucking asshole. Then you got this person. Then you got Jennifer Hermoso. There's just too many characters, too many things.
I would love a Women's World Cup winner that is not marred by accusations of sexism in pay or literal sexual assault.
Sounds like you want too much.
I think so. Apparently. It's my false feminism.
Yeah. false feminism.
Fuck this guy.
It's false feminism to not want someone to kiss you. And like, I thought you didn't do it, sir.
Exactly. Our man, okay, so one man comes up a lot in this segment. I suspect we could probably do a whole spinoff, is Elon Musk. Okay, we're going to unpack Ronan Farrow's latest article in The New Yorker about the power that Elon Musk wields over the U.S. government and, by extension, the world. This is extremely upsetting,
yes.
Like many things in this episode. Okay, so this article is very long, like all New Yorker articles. The article opens...
How do you really feel, Amanda?
I mean, it went fairly quickly. I enjoy listening to them sometimes because it's always a guy that sounds like your grandpa, but then like there's cursing in this one.
Yeah. I definitely listened to this and washed dishes. Yeah. Well, this was the yogurt toast bag. Uh-huh, that's probably why I'm burping.
Right, because of this article. We're having a physical reaction. Okay, so it opens with a pretty chilling and specific example. So because SpaceX had provided Starlink terminals to keep Ukrainians online during the Russian siege, Elon Musk was able to single-handedly cut off access to the internet for troops. And so, we remember that time when he was claiming that parts of Ukraine wanted to be Russian and pulling his audience on the matter on Twitter. Around this time, I think he was literally just having conversations with Putin. And, you know, I think we all knew that was happening, but what this article really put into very, very stark and terrifying terms is how these things really manifest, like literally on the battlefield. He threatened for a while to cut access unless the U.S. fit the bill for Starlink in Ukraine. And then he walked it back while ultimately hammering out a deal with the Department of Defense. But I'm sure using that, he initially like cut it while they were on the front lines. And they were like, as long as we don't have internet and can't communicate, people will die very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was just sort of like, I don't want to be part of war anymore. And it's like, well, you kind of can't extract yourself kind of now. So the kind of basis for this article is that there's obviously precedent for gazillionaires influencing foreign and domestic policy, but Ronan Farrow writes that this kind of takes it to another level. Like, this man is everywhere. He's in very important things that the government handles, and he's very erratic and unpredictable. So it's not just how specific his involvement is, it's just how broad it is. He's in internet, he's in space exploration, he's in communication, he's in the auto industry, he wants to be in AI. SpaceX is currently the only way NASA gets crew to space is through Elon's bullshit, which is terrifying. Again, because he's erratic. He's also so dominant in the electric vehicle market that the Biden administration has to work with he and Tesla on legislation that will actually work. Because he has so much influence over the charging stations. Like, if something doesn't work for him, he's usually going to get some sort of concession. And so this is not the only way that the government is reliant on Elon Musk. This man will have phone calls with Putin and the Pentagon in the same day, like when that conflict is ongoing, but in really intense moments. He will probably continue to be really involved to the same degree when there's inevitably going to be more conflict with China. And I think the thing that I took away from this article is that this man is functioning like a world leader. But he's not. He has not. Not that every world leader has earned it. Not even all of them have been democratically elected. But it's just, he's just some guy. He's just a very, very rich guy. And he's done some really strange things with that power. So he apparently authorized a SpaceX rocket launch even after the FAA had refused to grant him permission. That's not good. That's not okay. The government officials called him and basically had to like be up his asshole and like compliment him a ton, like, we'd love what you're doing for space, before being like, can you also please, you know, respect these guidelines. There are tens of thousands of Teslas on the road. Teslas are all, I think it's all electric cars, actually. It's got to be, like, they have to make a noise when stopped so that like they sound like cars, people are aware of their presence. Apparently he really wanted it to be like a fart. And the government had to be like, no. There was a feature in Teslas where the self-driving software is like based on how people actually drive. Most people do not fully stop at stop signs, but not fully stopping at stop signs is illegal. And so they had programmed the things to, you know, roll through stop signs at like 6 miles an hour. And the government was like, you can't do that. You can't program a computer to break the law. And then a lot of times, like, they'll go to him and they don't necessarily meet halfway, but he'll get a little farther. Like, they'll let him. Exactly. And we're talking about some of the most important high stakes things that our country is involved in. So that's terrifying. The Ukraine thing really scared me because he always sort of like will push things right to the edge. And then the people that are in the room and able to control him or control the situation are able to. But like, I feel like what we've learned from COVID and just a lot of things over the past couple of years is that we're all just in like a house of cards. And this man has his erratic hands in so many things.
Yeah. And also like, it's not even that no one can rein him in. It's only right. to public backlash. So people have to be loudly complaining and shaming him to do the right thing. And like, this is also, I mean, there's a lot of over intersectional like problems that are overlapping, problems that are like hitting this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it's just kind of like the STEM example of like why STEM people need to study humanities was kind of like with this. Mm-hmm. They didn't like, why can't we have the self-driving cars roll through stop signs? Like everyone else does it. Why can't we do it? And it's just like, mm-hmm. well, when you have a conscience or a morality, you won't, you know, it's just crazy. So this really stood out to me because I think I've been feeling it. We've all been feeling it. You know, the one that hits me the most, obviously, as an extremely online person is with, you know, X and all that shit. And like, just the social media updates that I'm getting on like the updates, it's just like, mm-hmm. Like you're not going to be able to do light mode. You can only do dark mode soon, which I'm like, I like dark mode, but it's like, oh, we are at the whims mm-hmm. of whatever Elon likes. And like, there's kind of no way, like he likes X, he's going to change X. Even though from a branding perspective, changing something from Twitter to X, like, it just doesn't make any sense. But again, that's what Elon would want. So that's what the whole world is doing. Like, yeah. It's just like an example. And, you know, it's a pretty kind of harmless, even though Twitter has like all this amazing or this big political impact. So like, again, this mm-hmm. article really stood out to me because I just didn't understand the big wide reach and like how deep it went with all these things, mm-hmm. Especially like how much our government leans on him. And like, you know me, I love like fucking promoting public transportation. And I feel like the US is really behind on public transportation and infrastructure conversations. And a lot of this conversations are due to Elon Musk, because Elon Musk has promised to make some mm-hmm. underground things, or what he's doing in Vegas with the Hyperloop, which is a shitty, less efficient subway. He completely canceled like high speed rail in California, which is like really, really, really needed. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's just interesting. It's yeah. like he is in control of so much in our government, and he is a hot ass mess who's like barely ever told no.
Right. What's really interesting, and this connects to everything you just said, like throughout the article, all of the, you know, associates of his that they talk to, they all are like what a lot of people say about him, which is that he's very intelligent and he's very interested in like the most ethical path forward for the planet. But I think he's just sort of like experimenting and taking shots at the dark to figure out how to get there. And it's like, bro, the stakes are too high. This yeah. isn't a simulation. Like you can't just be doing that. They share. So like, you know, Ronan Farrow talks to like a lot of people at the highest levels of government, defense, technology, and because of institutional sexism and how our society works, most of those people are men who I think, you know, they recognize themselves in him and they're like, yeah, he's like, he wants to be a good guy. He has done a lot of things that have changed society for the better. But like one quote that I thought was great, I think this was from Sam Altman. He said, Elon desperately wants the world to be saved, but only if he can be the one to save it. And mm-hmm. That's an interesting prism to view a lot of his behavior. Like you guys, our listeners know we're not the ones in the comments running to give Elon Musk the benefit of the doubt. But like that sort of makes sense to me that he, like you said, like there are solutions to a lot of the problems he's trying to solve that the experts that have come up with. And it would be perhaps better if he followed their lead instead of just spending $44 billion on Twitter and ruining it.
Yeah. And I think that this really reminds me of like, it's really great that like he's able to. He has like stepped outside the box and whatever, but the problem with this, and it just reminds me of the conversation we had with comedian extraordinaire Alana Glazer, mm-hmm. who's so fucking smart and funny, was just like, the risk and the effects and the consequences of their actions, they are so far removed from society and from things that these are all trivial, like philosophical debates. And they're not living amongst people. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they don't sweat with us. They don't mm-hmm. get our, they're completely separate, but their actions have incredible effects on everyone else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like if you walk by, you know, or you have family or whatever that experience homelessness, right? You're not going to be like, yeah, let's ship all the homeless people to another part of the, you know, because you have a stake in that. You're like, actually, like these people are members of our community, or like all these other complicated problems that are plaguing society. Mm-hmm. But to these people up in a hill or separate, isolated, so rich, they can get anything they want, whatever. They, you know, speaking in Davos or whatever, they all, these are all philosophical, unattached problems to them that they can, whatever. Yeah. And they can experiment and risk and whatever.
It's like a video game to them.
It is.
And I know that's like how he got into tech, is like, that's what this article said, is yeah. video game. And it goes more into like, you know, I guess like when his parents split up, he went to go live with his father, even though he didn't really want to, because his dad was lonely. And then his dad was abusive towards him, which explains why he's like a little bit weirder than like his siblings. People are just people. And anybody that has that kind of wealth at their disposal and can kind of decide spontaneously to make the moves that he has, it is scary. And we are entitled to ask some questions. And some questions that people are asking is he doing too much ketamine? Well, and like, you know, it's interesting because like we said, he's not a world leader. He's not been elected. We are entitled to ask if our elected leaders are on substances or are sick or something. Like that is our business. And then it sort of makes you question like somebody who is this involved and who has so many entanglements and whose actions and state of mind can have such a profound impact on the way all of us live and access things that like we all need pretty much every day, is definitely a question to be raised.
And again, like he's against like SSRIs and like,
right
like so he's using ketamine for depression.
Totally. In a clinical setting, but his friends make it sound like he's just like court sort of prescribing it to himself.
Exactly. Like most people don't take it to on a clinical setting, and like it has a lot of, and because the reason why it's really helpful in a clinical setting is because they're managing the side effects, and the side effects are, you know, hallucination or no, with he also abuses Ambien. Mm-hmm. And the side effects for Ambien use is hallucination, and with ketamine it's all these other, it's more erratic, less impulse or more impulsive behaviors,
right,
and stuff, which, you know, is great for the guy who's responsible for, right, sending us to space and deciding what world leaders get platforms and
exactly
everything else.
Somebody quoted in the article was like, yeah, I mean, at a certain dose of ketamine, you can feel kind of like you're drunk, and maybe it's okay if a librarian is drunk at work from time to time, but not certain people, not surgeons, not Elon Musk. And yeah, it was just like, I think what made me, and then also these like associates and friends were like, I don't know, his life just kind of like sucks. Like he's very stressed. He's not happy. He's kind of alone. Put all of this stuff on himself. And I sort of contributed to me finishing the article and feeling really icky and like,
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you're always able to sort of like catch him before he, like you said, the public backlash. I mean, it's the same with politicians. It's like, it's exhausting to have to like swarm to convince people not to do something absolutely crazy. Usually he kind of like sometimes will relent, but like you said, he'll change the Overton window and he'll leave things slightly more chaotic and unclear than they were before. And he's doing that with government too. Like he is able to control the regulations. He is able to kind of tell the FAA like, oh, is that regulation really that important? And they think, oh, maybe not, you know.
And not to get philosophical, but it's like, just like his fucking dad.
Yeah.
That is, you know what I mean? And like, I know Elon felt bad for his dad and that's why he went, you know, and not to say anyone deserves to be like, you know, whatever, but it's like, there's a reason why his dad was alone.
Oh, totally.
And it was like, there's a reason why Elon's alone.
My mom used to always say that to me. Like, I don't know, when I was like a young kid, for some reason, I was like, oh, it's so sad that old man is alone. And my mom, she'd be like, there's usually a reason. Like, well, and that has proven itself. I mean, right. A lot of times.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's not like he, you know, he spent his wealth, and there is something to be said about, you know, rich people using their money and resources to fund experimental things, you know, that is how we got the library system.
His brother is growing herbs in Brooklyn in shipping containers. Love that. Yeah. Love that.
Like, exactly. Or like, that's what I was going to say is like, yeah, like that's how we got the public library system is because people like, you know, wanted to see that if that could work or like whatever. But it's like, again, it's like it has to be him and he has to have all the answers instead of relinquishing. That is the dangerous. At its core, that's the most dangerous thing. Right. It's not that like, you know, he can be whatever, some stupid alt-right billionaire, stupid who gives a fuck, Koch brothers bullshit. But it's just that he has all this control and he won't listen to anyone who might have more perspective or nuance than him. And yeah, it's just like he wants to be the one in the center of everything.
And I think the sort of takeaway is that regardless about how you feel about Elon Musk and his contributions, the point is that like it's kind of a failure of our capitalist society that one man has created this opportunity for himself to be like, and one man who is quite troubled. And he is part of absolutely everything. And like our government is reliant on him. I think there was one line that was like, the only thing worse than like a government monopoly is like just a person. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll just say this point that I'm saying all the time is drug abuse aside, it's just troubling how much this man wants to work. Apparently he's up every night fucking reading emails. Yo, if I'm like, my goal is to never have to read, like to get an assistant. I'm just like, what are you doing? Why does everyone want to work so much? I get it. You don't want to be bored every day out at home.
It's the God complex. Yeah.
But it's just like, God damn, go on a fucking, like, yo.
Hang out with your 11, your nine kids. And your relax. Nine
kids, you know, eight, because one of them hates the trans one hates him and is changing their name, their last name, because they don't want to be associated. Try to repair that relationship. And go fucking figure that shit out.
Yet another uplifting Ronan Farrow article. That is our show for today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com.
Betches.